Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and even Central Time in Alabama, it's 5:03 p.m. in Birmingham and all parts of the central part of the country. Today is June 11th, 2022, and you're tuned in to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, on the TMGN. Okay. And thank you for joining us on this, well, at least here in my neck of the woods, pretty hot and humid Saturday. I have to admit, it is so hot that even the trees are looking for shade. Yeah, okay. I had to throw that one in there. But again, welcome to the show. Today we have some topics we're going to talk about. And the reason why I play that version, because see, the TMGS, we've had different versions. In fact, one Saturday I'm going to play different songs that we've had as our opening theme, and they'd be like real short rhythm, and everybody would show up, you know, on time. But I said, well, let me go ahead and play this one a little longer. And by the way, that song is called Conversation Piece. It is written by Mr. Joe Foxworth, the former member of Motown, legendary Motown. Well, I say legendary Motown because, of course, they are. But one of the groups on Motown label was a group called Ozone, and they did a song with the late, great Miss Tina Marie called Gigolette. They also did their biggest hit was called Struck My Thing. So Joe happened to have wrote this and said, hey, man, I want to give you this song. for your opening thing called Conversation Piece, and I really like that groove. So appreciate that, Joe. So let's see, as everybody starts to come on board, again, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about what I think many people might have either been hearing about, interested in, or probably just flat out don't give a damn, and that is the prime time hearings that happened this week as far as the January 6th incident. And, you know, they've been doing this whole thing, going and investigating the whole thing for some months now. I think it's been about 10 months, almost a year, when they started doing the investigation into it. And now they're broadcasting it in prime time. Some people are questioning that. Why do that? We're going to talk about that. What are your thoughts about it being on during the hour that you might want to watch your certain shows or whatever? And notice that there are certain channels that are showing it and certain channels are not. Kind of interesting, you know. Then there's a story about the gentleman who was at the Supreme Court justice in his neighborhood, not actually at his house, but you know, with weapons, you know, wanting to kill him. You know, here we go again. There's a lot of stuff that's going on, and I really want us to talk about it, and I want to hear your points of view. I definitely want to hear what you think about it, and are you keeping up with it? And I'm going to open up some mics because, fortunately, the co-hosts are here. First, the lady of the house, Miss Janet Davis. How you doing? I have to say it the right way, though. Please welcome to the mic, Janet Polly Hawkins Davis.
Yay!
I got to put some applause.
And I'm going to sound like I'm trying to be a boxing match, Michael.
Yeah, but see, you have to do, you're going down. You got to do that, you know, that old school, you know, Muhammad Ali thing, you know. Rope-a-dope.
Oh, yeah.
How
look,
you doing today,
I used to be glued to the TV for those. Yeah, I'm doing okay. And I was excited for the hearing, you know, to start, mm-hmm. because it's been a long time coming. And a lot of people thought that we were going to hear some of the same old, but they had some surprises, right? They started out with a bang.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Well, I want to do this real quick, and I'm going to come back to it for the folks that probably haven't heard this, that, and the other, and everything, or bits and pieces of it, or haven't been following it. Keep in mind that Bill Barr was the top cop, right? Bill
mm-hmm.
Barr was the top cop. And, you know, when this all went down, we got to keep in mind that this was a president who didn't care what he said, and he meant what he said. Now, first of all, I want to let everybody know who is listening on the internet or over the phone line and everything. You know, if you're Republican, if you're Democrat, I really don't give a shit. But my rule is this: you will not cuss anybody out on this line. If you call in and start cussing, I will mute you. And then if you keep on, once I unmute you, I will block you, hang up on you. And you go any further than that, then we have a real problem. But you're welcome to come in, share your thoughts, your opinion. I got to open up the chat room, okay? But I want to hear, because the thing is that we have to look at where we heard Donald Trump, we heard the former president say what he wanted to say when he was president. And he's still saying what he wants to say after being president.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to put your ducks in a row in any situation. As we know, he told us that he was getting the best of the best. And what happened? He fired his best of the best. And now his best of the best that were left, in his opinion, they're weak, they're suckers, they're punks. They were afraid of losing their job. You're the president of the United States. You hire and fire, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
That's you decide who's in your administration. You know, but let me just drop this a little bit here, and I'm going to come back to even more. But here's what Bill Barr said, what he said to Donald Trump.
I had three discussions with the president that I can recall. One was on November 23rd, one was on December 1st, and one was on December 14th. And I've been through sort of the give and take of those discussions. And in that context, I made it clear I did not agree with the idea of saying the election was stolen and putting out this stuff, which I told the president was bull. And, you know, I didn't want to be a part of it. And that's one of the reasons that went into me deciding to leave when I did. I observed, I think it was on December 1st, that, you know, how can we, you can't live in a world where the incumbent administration stays in power based on its view, unsupported by specific evidence, that the election, that there was fraud in the election.
Okay, so that was Bill Barr when he was he had to speak, you know, and and let's not talk about Sessions, who was thrown under the bus. You know, these are the best of the best that former President Donald Trump said he was going to get, and now these are the people he calls trash. You know, they're nothing. They're thing. Let me open up another co-host, Mike. You know, because we always have to. I mean, always here, always welcome. Always appreciate them, because if I need some law enforcement, you know who I'm going to call on. Who are you going to call? Jeff Crenshaw, Officer Crenshaw is on the board. Officer Crenshaw, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good.
Hey, Janet, how are you guys?
Great.
All right,
how
all right.
Are you?
Yeah, I wanted to, I'm working on my truck, but I'm trying to listen in as well, so I'm in and out.
Okay.
Well, I'm just glad that you're here. That's what's important.
And I follow you
right
around like a fucking dog. You know that.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so I played that clip there. And I'm going to play it again, because then there's another clip I'm going to play of that. Again, I'll say that some of you may have watched this. Unfortunately, I didn't see it when it was live, but when I got home, because, you know, the networks who did broadcast it, they did rebroadcast it. Now, there were networks who did not broadcast it, and we can all
That's
guess
right.
which ones. We can mm-hmm. all guess which ones. There's so much going on with this, because there's one network I turned on truly by accident. You know how you have that row of news channels, you know, that's just back to back to back when you know, scrolling. And I just happened mm-hmm. to hit on this one in the Kings and Clips. But this cat, I think his last name is Kelly, the Something Kelly Show. And, oh, man, he just tried to find anything and everything he could say about this whole thing. So with that being said, though, I want to ask you guys, Janet, and anybody else that's on the board, if you have a question or comment that's calling in, go ahead and press the number one. I'll open up your mic. Opening up the chat room in just 1 second, just having a little problem here with the board here. Ooh, hopefully it's not going to be like we've had a couple of times in the past.
I hope
all.
Not.
Okay. We got chat room open. So as I came across this panel, this guy was talking about the whole thing and was saying where, I mean, he was nitpicking even the black officer now. He was nitpicking the black officer that was there, okay, who was attacked, which you heard him testify months ago. So he's there at this primetime event, and he has on a T-shirt, a black T-shirt, and a silver chain on. And this news broadcaster decided to talk about his attire. What freaking difference does it make? I mean, you don't have nothing else to say about this officer? I mean, why would you say anything? But you have to pick out his attire. Was it a formal dinner?
Was it someone with the title?
I guess he felt like it was, because as I said, I ran across him by accident. He had on a black T-shirt. He didn't have no slogan written across it. He didn't have Black Lives Matter or anything. He had a silver chain around his neck. You know, he was very casual. But, I mean, I don't think there was something that was said that you must be in semi-formal attire to come to sit and listen. He wasn't testifying. He wasn't in his uniform. But this particular person felt the need to point that out about this officer. You know, I didn't understand that. Let me ask you a question, Janet.
The dress code doesn't matter anymore. We grew up to where when you go to church, you put on certain clothes. Some people go to church, say, flip-flop. You know, when you go into a church or into a building, you take your hat off. People don't do that anymore. So if you're going into the courtroom and you're not having to testify, you can go in jeans and T-shirt.
Yes, in the church, they say, come as you are. Jesus is not looking at your clothes. He's looking at what's on your in your heart, what's on your heart. Yeah. So, Mike, you disappeared? Well, I hope we don't have an issue. Michael?
I think Mike had to go boom, boom.
I was responding to a call on another line. So what was that? I know I caught where as far as dress code. Right. Used to be a time you dressed a certain way, but now you don't have to. It's not. You know. I mean, you dress presentable, but I think I caught where Janet said. You said come as you are.
Most church say come as you are, and I said Jesus is not looking at what you're wearing. He looked at what's in your heart, on your heart.
Okay. True. Give you a prime example of what happened, and I don't want to really change gears too much, but that is true. That's according to the word. But you know Allen Temple in Woodstock. There were people that lived up there in the Woodstock area who didn't have the the suits and the ties and this, that, and the other. And, I would say, why don't y'all come and, fellowship with us. You'll enjoy, because you remember I used to play drums for Allen Temple and everything. And man, I can't come up there. I can't do that, because them folks up there, all in their Sunday best, they're going to look at us crazy and this, that, and the other. I said, no, and that's exactly what I said, what you said. I said, if they look at you like that, then they're the hypocrites. But believe it or not, you remember Aunt Lily May? I told everybody, she got on them, and they showed up in their jeans. Clean, not their construction jeans, but their casual stuff. Their casual jeans.
Lily May used to feed the whole neighborhood.
Right, true.
She had everybody coming by her house to get a meal.
Right. But the thing is that back to the thing is that here is where this host of this particular news show had to make his show about how this officer was dressed. And he's sitting, he's not testifying. Let me open up the mic to, of course, we have to go to the West Coast. And we have to go ahead and open the mic to the one, the only. And by the way, I have to share some great information about what this brother's about to do and what he's been doing, what he's about to do. Please welcome to the show another co-host, the one, the only. I said that already, right? Time in. Mike, there you go again now. Ship.
Hey, I can't say much. How you doing? I'm in a bad spot. Hey, what's going on there, officer? I'm in a bad spot. I don't want to beat you while you got a lot of background. But trying to worry about what somebody is wearing or focused on That's where your focus should be, because somebody's been trying to throw salt on this. They don't want this out. They don't want this to happen. And this needs to be explained. You know, Jack Del Rio just got in trouble with the Washington Commanders because he said that it was, you know, that this was just a dust-up, you know. This is just, as he tried to compare it to what happened with George Floyd. And my thing is, you attacked our Capitol. Where is the patriotism? Where is all these so-called things y'all talk about? But y'all attacked, and you brought a Union flag into that ain't ever been there.
Into the rotunda.
Into the rotunda. Right. And so, you know, I just think it's just big hypocrisy. Also, you can't compare, you know, the BLM, they call them, you know, they're talking about they tore up the city. You can't really make that comparison because I believe a lot of people were behind the scenes trying to destroy what they were doing anyway, you know.
Yeah,
and, indeed. Yes, people died, but, yes, this you attacked the Capitol building. You did an insurrection, you know. And so, and like I said, I'm in a bad spot, and I don't want to have that background noise in the back, Mike, but I just, you know, hey, I let you know I was listening and everything. If I get into a better spot, I can say more, but, you know, you can't make the comparison, and for everybody always trying to overlook, you can't do it. I love Benny Thompson, the brother who spoke in the very beginning, and gave a true testimony. And they can hate. I'm not a big Liz Cheney fan, but Liz Cheney, no, there's some BS going on in the Republican Party, and I'm gonna expose this crap. And if y'all want to follow the orange man to y'all grave, y'all can best believe y'all legacy is definitely being talked about. This is going down in the history books of how y'all tried to screw this country, and you tried to justify it.
Liz
right.
Cheney was right.
Well, get him a better spot. Please get him to a better spot so we can make sure that you have a chance to chime in, because I know you have a lot to say about it. And I'm looking at, we're going to spend a full hour on this, and I want anyone that is in the chat room, go ahead and post your questions or comments. Anyone that's on the board, if questions or comments, you're welcome to hit the number one, and I'll open up your mic. Please, if you have any noise in the background, make sure you bring it to a minimum of zero, okay? We definitely will appreciate it for the quality of the show when it's rebroadcast. Go ahead, Janet.
Well, I just said that Liz Cheney was right on point when, for everything she said, she had a video to back it. And then for us to find out several people in Congress and maybe in the Senate asked for pardons before Trump left the White House. So if you didn't do anything wrong, why are you asking for pardons?
Yeah. To get it, well, as they say, the cart before the horse. Because they knew that. But here's the thing that gets me, and it goes to show, there's a lot of people who don't understand that. Let's go back to the Black Lives Matter march. Black Lives Matter did not. They did not have a pre-meeting and say, we're going to storm the Capitol. Yeah, black power. They didn't do that. They said, we're going to march. Okay? Past the Capitol, we will have a location. We'll stand there, and we will protest. Okay?
And they got arrested for peaceful protest.
Well, let me finish. This is the crazy part. They did nothing like what happened on January 6th, but you had the National Guard lined across the steps. Now folks are saying, well, that was Nancy Pelosi's fault, that she didn't have enough security. It's the Democrats' fault. It's pointing fingers here, okay? But this is the President of the United States. Had he not said what he said, they would have never went to the Capitol. Think about it. Had he not said, we are going to march to the Capitol, I will be with you, they would not have gone. Don't you think so? But let me finish a little bit. Had he not said that we will march to the Capitol, do you think all them people would have went anyway? Had he not said those words, I really doubt it. And when he said, I will be with you, that's like a general leading his army, right? Had he just did what he was going to do.
Right. But at the time when he said that, the Proud Boys were already at the Capitol scoping it out.
Okay.
And the crowd,
right.
That was just going to be a deflection of what they already had planned on doing.
Well, it's just like someone said the other night. I was watching a program that, well, even if they did succeed in doing what they plan on doing, they would not have held the Capitol for long. No way. They would not have held it for long. I believe that. I mean, how the hell are you going to storm the Capitol and all of a sudden now you are the government? No, there would have been something
law,
that
Michael,
would have superseded.
They had planned on calling out martial law. And that didn't happen.
Right.
But that's what the plan was. So
I still
once
say,
they do martial law, when the president would have been, he was still, he wasn't out of office. He was still in office. He wasn't sworn out yet.
Right. But as I said, one person said that they would not have been able to hold the Capitol for long. How long he meant, I don't know. But I think there would have been something of where Congress would have had to done something, because eventually somebody is going to go to jail. Somebodies are going to go to jail, not necessarily Donald Trump, which they already said. This is not about putting Donald Trump behind bars. It's basically to make sure this never happens again, to expose how it even got started. Now, that much I do appreciate. I'm not really worried about Donald Trump going to jail or not. Me personally, I'm not. It's just the fact that it's going to be in the history books, but we need to know the truth of how it started. It didn't just happen. There was a lot of planning and plotting behind this, and there are some people that were definitely involved that need to be exposed.
Is this going to be
and
a history book, or is it going to be another whitewash, like the past history?
Well, I think this shouldn't be a whitewash, because now we are talking about the United States of America, the democratic country, okay? That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the best nation on earth. We claim that we have the best judicial system on the earth. Well, this is the time to prove it. This is the time to prove that we have the best judicial system on the planet Earth. That when it comes to trying to overthrow our federal government, that can't happen. When I hear people say, you know, the Fifth Amendment, the First Amendment, the Third, well, I mean, you can't just go storming to the, you just can't overturn an election. And all these things about the election was stolen, there's many people who are Republican who say there's no proof. Come on now, at some point. But just like some Republicans even say, you're not going to convince. No, some Republicans even say, you're not going to convince a diehard Trump supporter, though, that it wasn't, you know, fixed. And that's sad. I was watching the cat. He said, hey, you could bring them everything. You could tell them everything. They're not going to believe it. They believe that this election was fixed. That's a sad state of mind for the United States of America right now, especially with what's going on, especially with, you know, the hate that's going on. You know, I remember, Janet, and I think you do, not long ago when we did a show and someone came on the show and said, well, America became racist and hateful when Barack Obama became president. That's where it started.
I agree
with you. People didn't want the first black president. They didn't think there will ever be a black president. Remember I told you about back in the 80s when we were working on...
It just became emboldened.
Well, yeah. But remember I told you back when we were working on Town Center Mall, and for some of you folks who don't know, in Georgia here, there's an area called Woodstock, a little small town here, that had one streetlight. And I worked on that mall. There was only one gas station in the area, no homes whatsoever. They tore out everything, all the homes and everything. And I remember a white guy who lived in Florida. He was up here working with a crew that came from Florida. And we got into a conversation, something about politics or whatever he said. He said, man, there'll never be a black president. This was in the 80s now. He said, that's why they call it the White House, Michael. I said, okay. I'm like, wow, that's pretty deep. He actually said that. And Janet, what did I say? I told you when I told you that story, I said, I wish I could see his ass right now. I wish I knew his phone number. Because you said never. But here, we had a black president. Your militias and your groups started growing in numbers. It came from the fact that a black man became president. Here comes Donald Trump, who I believe, with some of his rhetoric, divided even more because of the way he spoke. And some folks felt like, and still do, that, well, he's honest. He's up front. But, you know, come on now. Certain things you just don't say to invoke violence or make it seem like it's okay to say it, but I didn't mean it. Because too many people were saying, well, you know, he likes to joke and kid. You don't joke and kid about certain things. Just like you don't yell fire in a movie theater. Oh, I was just joking. No, that's against the law. Right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. Certain things you just can't do. But this president did it. And now look at where we are. This is all about, like I said, to make sure it never happens again. Find out who was behind it. And if they broke any laws, they should go to jail. And we move on as a nation. Because I know other countries are laughing their asses off at us. Russia, for one, I'm pretty sure is laughing their ass off. China, too. Look at America. And hell, probably Saudi Arabia and many other countries laughing at us. Because we are supposed to be a democratic country. We are the melting pot. And we cannot make this work, at least right now in this environment.
It's hard to be a democratic country when you got 50% just about of the country want to be an autocrat country. You know, our president is not a king. He was elected for the people, by the people, not to have self-interest to fatten their pockets. It was supposed to be to help those who need help. But
right.
You can't be one-sided and be just for the corporations or the rich and forget everybody else. You know, our country was almost at a point where we were have and have not. And
It's getting that way now. And now I'm going to be honest with you. And the thing is that where, you know, a lot of folks say, oh, well, there you go with that left wing, you know, supported. Look, all politicians, all of them, I'm not going to say tell a lie. All of them will tell an untruth for a moment because sometimes they're backed up against a wall. But maybe I should take that back. Not all. But many of them do.
That's right.
Until they can figure out a best way to tell the truth, okay? And eventually you have to tell the truth if you're backed up against a wall, you know? But I think that when you're dealing with like the situation now, it's always where take your eye off of this, take your eye off of that. Right now, yes, the economy, you know, food is going up, gas is going up. It's not the first time that it's done this, though. You know, be glad we don't have gas rationings right now. And for any of you that remember back in the 70s, gas rationings where there was no gas. In fact, just recently there was times where pumps were out of gas. The cost wasn't high, but stations were out of gas, right? But at least the stations do have the gas. You just pay more money.
Well, they're fattening their pockets. I saw someone with a chart and a graph,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying this has been a long time coming. He said because the supply, they weren't supplying, they were cutting back on the supply. So now after COVID, the demand is more, and they're not giving out enough, and so that's why the prices are going higher.
Correct. That's the whole. I mean, that's the whole plan. Supply and demand, okay? If you demand the product and they want it, weaken the supply, go up on the cost. They still going to buy
mm-hmm.
it.
That's
it's a necessity. I went into a store the other day, and I remember these cookies. I'm serious. They're good cookies. Were just a dollar. I'd buy 2-3 packs. And one day they went up to $1.50. I'm like, for some freaking cookies? Really? But then you have to look at the fact of where the things, you know, the product or whatever, how it's made, you know, the cost of this goes up, the cost of that goes up, everything, the ingredients, okay, we're short on that. Shipping it, if we're not able to ship it fast enough, or either we can produce it, but if we don't get it out in time, now it's waste. You follow me? There's so many things that really have a ripple effect on the cost of necessities, things that we need. Am I right? Of course,
yeah.
Food.
Mm-hmm.
I see a hand wave, and I'm going to go ahead and open up their mic, 216-780. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
What's going on, Mike? This is Victor calling.
Hey, Victor, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. And, of course, you know I'm here to give a different perspective about what happened on Thursday night. First and foremost, when you have a hearing. Huh?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, this is your point of view, right, and your perspective, right?
Absolutely. And it's based upon what has been going on. One of the things mm-hmm. is when you have a hearing, you never have a hearing, you shouldn't have a hearing without an opposing view. I mean, Liz Cheney, come on, really? We call this woman's father a war criminal. And now all of a sudden she gets accolades. You know, the problem that these people had with Donald Trump was that he was not a part of the inside the beltway.
Wait, I'm sorry. I think you said criminal. No, we called her father a war hero, right? You said criminal.
No,
we called him a war.
During the Gulf War, when Bush sent those troops into Iraq, he and Bush were being called war criminals.
Yeah, during that era, right. But when he came...
That's what I'm talking about.
Right, okay. But he was first called a hero, right?
At first, yes.
Okay.
So let me put it as plain as I can, because I think whether you like what I'm saying, and I know some of the folks listening probably don't like what I'm saying, but probably will have to agree with this. Our government is full of people who have been there longer than they should be. Many people in Congress, as we see, are being challenged. Many of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus are being challenged because people are fed up with them. People are fed up with the Democrat Party. people are fed up with politics, Republicans, especially these, you know, pink panty wearing Republicans who won't stand up for anything. Now, I'm a person that believes that there are decent people on both sides. But at the end of the day, what we saw happening on January 6th was a culmination of Trump supporters, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa. There were, well, you laugh all you want, bruh. The one dude that was chasing that officer up the steps. Now, if you watch that video, that officer running up the steps, stopping, waving his wand, running back up the steps. The one dude had Antifa Philadelphia on his T-shirt. This was an orchestrated. It was all orchestrated based upon the events that I've seen and how it unfolded. Yes, Pelosi is responsible. Bauer is responsible. They knew days before, weeks before, that there was going to be a huge event. Now, is Trump responsible for the people's actions? No, I don't think he's responsible, because he did say peacefully protest to show support. If you go back and you play, don't play the clips that the Democrats played in the second impeachment before he right after he left office or just before. Play the whole thing. He said peacefully protest. But my problem is that we're celebrating and we're cheering dysfunction. Our government, these people on this panel, people in our government are so dysfunctional. Our country is the way it is because of these folks. It's the way it is because, and this is why a lot of people supported Trump in the second election. Nobody believed that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. I mean, this was the guy, and Kamala Harris was the very first one to be put out. Many black folks recognized that these were the folks that were responsible for the mass incarceration of black folks, not to mention some of the racial rhetoric from Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris keeping black men locked up past their release date. Now, you know, I know there are black folks that don't care how bad the Democrat Party is. They're going to vote for them anyway. I don't like either party. Even though I am registered as a Republican, I do like those who attempt to, you know, to keep our constitutional and our Bill of Rights afloat.
Okay, I have to intervene for a minute.
Go ahead.
Okay, but you said two key things. First of all, the last thing that you said, the people who tries to keep our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, that insurrection, which that's what it was against.
Where was the guns? An insurrection? Well, you need weapons for an insurrection, bro.
No, that was an insurrection because here's the thing. In my opinion, it was an insurrection. As I said earlier, is that in my opinion, I felt like if Donald Trump did not lead the crowd, and as Janet said, the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys had already planned. Now, you said this was orchestrated. Who orchestrated it? You saying the Republic or the Democrats? Who orchestrated it?
I think it was about to find out who really
orchestrated this whole thing.
Well, let me tell you. First and foremost, I think it was orchestrated by folks in both political parties.
Well, that's a good answer.
Like I said, these folks have been there for a long time. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. You know, these people have gotten rich. They've gotten super wealthy in D.C. And, you know, Trump comes to office and says, well, government doesn't run efficiently. So what was one of the very first things he did? He redid the contracts with Boeing for those Air Force One. Why? Because they were excessively spending money. And what do you think happens? They spend this money, the kickbacks, just like money. Think about the $44 billion that went to Ukraine. Now, how much of that do you think is going to come back into the pockets and the coffers of those who voted to send it over there? I mean, there's a dynamic out there that's being played that many of us, many people are blind to because we're caught up in this racial divide so much that we can't even begin to see the forest for the trees.
Well, that's a deterrent. See, as you just said, this is orchestrated. The racial divide is orchestrated. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you really want, it's all orchestrated. Because, see, I don't know how old you are. I'm 60 years old. I've never.
Well, we're about the same age.
Yeah, okay. So when I was growing up, you know, racism has existed, as we all know, since the beginning of time. But
right.
At when I was a kid, I didn't have to worry about being fat. I didn't have to worry about dealing with the racism that exists now. True enough, in the South, I mean, when I first came here in the South, you have racism. I saw it, and it was blatant, but it wasn't violent.
Yeah.
The person would call you a nigga, but he wouldn't attack you. You know, they wouldn't jump you or anything. You know, at least, you know, when I first came here, you know, I was with a white.
Well, our people wasn't putting up with that no more.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, though, but no.
We ain't putting up with that kind of stuff no more.
Yeah, right. But now, the racial divide now, since you brought that up, the racial divide is more intense because here's the thing, because I think about the people who are biracial, who are like, what the fuck is going on? You know what I'm saying? Look at the people who are biracial. Nobody thinks about that. Nobody ever mentions that. I never hear any conversation about, well, what about the kid who's half black, half white, boy or girl, or half Asian, half this, half that? All of us are a little bit of everything. Ain't nobody pure African here, unless you just came here from Africa not too long ago. And even if you're from Africa, hell, there might be some race mixing war because the Europeans went to Africa, right? Okay, so
exactly.
I mean, you know,
so
I
did
mean,
the Arabs, don't we agree that our political system is so dysfunctional that, you know, that these people, these actors, they, you know, I mean, hell, they had to get a producer to put this thing together because they really, and, you know, and then to keep, you know, the other side out. You know, what about people like Jim Jordan being on the committee? Because there's a whole lot of other questions that had to be asked that are not going to get asked in this hearing. So when we look at what's going on just in the country as a whole, you know, we see our cities crumbling.
Well,
we see,
when you said,
you know,
Jim
we
Jordan.
See the escalating crime rate. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you mentioned Jim Jordan. Okay, look, Jim Jordan, I mean, he's a politician, but he's a hell of an actor, too. I mean, he's a hell of an actor, okay, in my opinion. I mean, as I've said to everybody, and I say it again, I don't sit and watch CNN and MSNBC and all those Democratic channels religiously. I go to different channels. I go to liberal channels. I go to right wing,
conservative.
You know, I listen to all of it because I have to hear all of it. I mean, Janet will tell you there's times where there'd be a lot of folks like herself who are Democrat, and I'll have more Democrats on the line than anybody else. A few times I'll have some Republicans who may chime in, and I'll say, well, let me play devil's advocate towards you guys because I'm going to tell you what. This is what this person said, and let them respond, okay? Because you have to, you know, if there's not a voice, which I do invite people who are Republican to come on, a few have, but many don't want to. But I'm giving you a platform to share what your thoughts are. And so, Reese Hopkins, who has his own show. Reese has been on my show a few times. He don't want to come back. He don't want me back on his show. I've been on this show because Reese doesn't have co-hosts. It's Reese. It's just what he does. It's him solo, right? But the point I'm trying to make is this. I believe that where, you know, one voice is one sound. So if I'm just hearing one sound, then that's it. So why would I play a record that just plays nothing but a bass that has just one note? It's a boring song. You follow me? There's no song. But if there's more voices, it makes a better song. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so, I mean, and it does make sense because it's about the sharing of ideas and, you know,
and then you
and trying
an
to get along.
You create an orchestra of conversation. You create an orchestra of conversation, and that's
right.
The whole key. You create an orchestra
exactly.
of conversation where you can hear every single instrument, and every instrument is very important to the song. So as we communicate, just like you calling in now, your voice, you're making a sound, you're sharing your thoughts. You said you're registered as a Republican, but you feel like both parties are full of shit. I'm the same way, because I do agree with what you said is about what you said about politicians in general, that, yeah, a lot of them are filthy rich. Mitch McConnell is filthy rich. Schumer, they're all rich, and they're just going to pass that down through their families. We know that. It's called what? Generational what?
Politics. Yeah, that too. Okay. You know, and I, you know, then we
generational
look at,
wealth.
You know, right. But we look at those who claim to represent us, and yet, you know, they voted to send, you know, billions of dollars to another country. You know, because you were talking about the gasoline prices. It was very easy. This solution is not hard. They're making it appear to be hard. All they had to do was just not do anything with energy in this country. We knew, and they were stating this stuff back when, just right around the end of Bush, beginning of Obama, that when oil production is down, exploration is down in this country, Russia's economy will boom. And this is exactly what's happening. Russia's not worried about what Joe Biden was going to do, what Joe Biden in the U.S. is going to do. Neither is China. Neither is North Korea. We're sitting ducks. These people have literally made us sitting ducks. We got an invasion of people coming across that border, to which 50, 55 or more percent of the very same people, Hispanics in this country, oppose. So, I mean, the things that are happening now were the very things that Trump did opposite of, which made our country strong. They don't.
No,
these people there don't want our country to be, come on, you know, they don't want our country to be strong. They want us dependent upon them.
Trump made
I mean,
our country strong. Tell me some of the things that he made strong.
Okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about NATO. He forced those NATO countries to pay their share, their fair share, and said America was no longer paying for the other countries' defense if they're not going to pay their share. We're not going to defend them. So countries started paying. He renegotiated the trade deals between China. I mean, China also, you know, the talking heads and me. Oh, he's going to start a race war. He's going to start a trade war is what I meant. But of course, there was going to be some ruckus because these people didn't like what was going to happen to their country, but didn't care what happened to our country, as we watch many people leave the manufacturing sector and watch these jobs because of crooked, corrupt politicians allowing them to go overseas. So when all of Trump came in, he did all of that. He rebuilt our military. He was strengthening our borders, our allies. And Joe Biden can't even get a meeting with the Saudis. They don't even.
Okay, so let me intervene for just a second. Now, when you said about our jobs going overseas, okay, you're not saying that just the Democrats allow that, right?
No,
you're not right, because you know our jobs were going overseas when there was a Republican president actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's when it started.
But see, this is what I was saying. This is, but see, you. you're making my point for me. This is the kind of stuff that was going on in our country and been going on for a long time that people were fed up with. People didn't vote for Trump because they thought he was going to bring racism and white supremacy and white supremacy. This stuff he was talking about, China and the auto industry, he talked. Go look at the videos on YouTube when he was talking to Oprah Winfrey, his very good friend, back in the 80s. You know, you know, Larry,
back
when he was on with Larry King.
Good friend you are now, but yeah, back in the 80s. I don't
know
about now. Yeah, I know what you're
but
saying.
But I'm saying, he was like, our politicians have, he'd been saying it for years, our politicians have just gutted this country. And many of our people.
I have to say this. I can agree with that point. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, him saying those things, and I can see that there's a lot of truth to that, in which I guess you heard I said that. I believe that every politician, not every, but quite a few of them on both sides are full of shit. Okay?
That's right.
There's no perfect Democrat. There's no perfect Republican. And, you know, and they and all of them, of course, they're – you know, what tickles me when I watch when elections come or when it comes to the primaries and everything where party goes against party. That is the funniest shit where – here you both are the same party, supposedly trying to fight for your constituents who support that particular party. But my way is better than his. Even though he's a Republican,
well,
my way is just a little bit better than his. And what they do, they say what they're going to do on the issues, and then all of a sudden they start throwing dirt in each other's face. And that goes on both sides.
It definitely does.
And it's simply because...
No, and I was just going to say, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's simply because there are some who are more willing to be the inside the beltway players than others. So you got to get folks out of the way. Now, everybody's coming down on Joe Manchin and Kristen Gillibrand or whatever her name is for not supporting Biden's Build Back Better plan. We got 2,000 pages of legislation, and the only thing we get from these politicians when they go on television is talking about roads and bridges. You mean to tell me it takes 2,000 pages to write, you know, about infrastructure? There's a hell of a lot more going on in these bills, and I personally do not think that they should. If you're going to have an infrastructure bill, it should deal with infrastructure, not all of this other petty stuff that they, you know, that they tell us that they need to be doing.
We'll put
it in another bill.
Right.
You know, you see what I'm
saying?
And I think we've gotten to the point that we're so irrational and emotional that we see, especially us as a people, because I got family members, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit talking, but I got family members and friends that think that the only way you as a black person is supposed to vote is vote Democrat. Bull crap.
Well,
these people
okay,
have
so
never
the thing is that, but here's the fact that really in the beginning, which my father, who I guess he would have been almost 100 this year, if not, I have to take a look at that.
Oh,
here.
Wow.
Let me do the news.
Mm-hmm.
But he passed a number of years back. But I remember him telling me that, you know, initially black people voted Republican. They didn't vote Democrat from the beginning, okay? Just think about the fact that Abraham Lincoln, who was a Republican, who did the proclamation, allegedly freed the slaves. I say allegedly because there's a lot of folks who say, that's not true. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm gonna say allegedly, you know, but according to it, he did. But the thing is that if you look at it in that sense, you know, when he said that black folks initially voted Republican, I believe that due to that.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats, which is crazy that Democrats have looked at the party that just want to give stuff to people, just give them stuff and control them. Republicans are looked at as individuals who want to take things away and not give anything, not help folks.
well, if you look at certain things,
kelp corporations,
I think is, right.
Kelp corporations.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm trying to get.
I don't disagree.
Is that it's so funny that we're right. Democrats want to give stuff to the poor. Republicans want to give stuff to the rich. And then keep in mind, the main thing that came up that's always been the platform, in my opinion, from the Republicans is the trickle-down. Ronald Reagan did the trickle-down. Give the rich a break, and they could pay, you know, the employees more, you know, give them less taxes. They're not giving nothing. Have you seen what just happened?
In a perfect world.
Yeah. But I'm going to switch gears because we're going to talk about gun control in a minute. And as far as because the thing is that now they're going through that now, okay, which we've gone through gun control for years and years. But since these recent massacres, horrendous massacres here by individuals who just became legal adults at the age of 18 years of age. We're going to get in that. But the point I'm going to get to first is that where here you have companies, it's supposed to be a trickle-down effect. The money is supposed to come down from the rich, and, you know, we get the rich a tax break. They're going to pay the poor, the working class, the middle class more. No, they're not. It hasn't happened. It happens spontaneously every now and then. Give a little, a bonus here and there. But a bonus don't mean nothing. The bonuses come or even from the government when times are hard, like right now, even like during the pandemic, everybody got a few thousand dollars. But guess what? That was a loan to prepare you for what's happening right now. And by the way, Biden was not in office. But that was a loan. It's not like it was by plan. Don't get me wrong. Donald Trump didn't plan this. He didn't know that this virus. In fact, he denied that it even existed, right? He said it was a hoax, a Democratic hoax. Let's be real on what was said. Here we got this, everybody got this money, this government checks a couple of times. But now you're paying it again through your gas, through your food, through all your necessities. Think about that. I mean, don't you find that to be somewhat true or ironic?
Well,
when you thought this was helping you, okay, and at the moment it did, but now you're kind of paying it back because you're paying more money for everything now in 2022.
Well, absolutely. The thing about corporations and tax cuts, in a perfect world, these people, yeah, absolutely, they would do that. But the thing is, when companies are charged more, I give you an example. I worked for a company, and one of the things that the guy I worked for did was he reinvested money back into the company, bought better equipment, did a lot of things to make the work a lot easier, safer for the employees, because the idea is to have production. And when government takes money, number one, is taking money out of the economy that otherwise get wasted in other places. I mean, just think once again, go back to money being sent to foreign aid in other countries. I'm not against helping people. Everybody needs help every once in a while. We do it. But for years, I've always believed that they do these things because they want to be able to control the purse strings, and they want to be able to control who gets rich and who doesn't. If you're not willing to play the game, you're going to be at the bottom. So if you got
what I want to do right now, I want to take a quick break, and I apologize because We're at in fact, we're beyond the 7 o'clock hour. The time is 7:05 p.m. Eastern, and you tune into the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, and the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. I want to thank
thanks for hearing
co-host.
Me out.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I hope you stick around for the next segment. I see a couple other calls that are coming in because we're about to change gears, and I want to touch on a couple of things that was not in the schedule. Janet, as I said, she always does the research. We're going to talk about gun control, but I want to talk about something else that I see every freaking day. Because regardless what goes on around the world, we got to control and pay attention to what happens in our communities first. You know, what happens, you know, in your community reflects what is viewed. You understand my point? It's just like when a city wants to host an Olympic game, they have to present their location as a good, comfortable area, right? So, but it all starts with the community, you know. So, and I'm going to get more into that when we come back. So I'm going to go ahead and throw a little monkey wrench in here, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about gun control. But I want to dedicate this song to a lot of the young folks out there. If you're all listening, which I doubt many of you are not, but, you know, there was a time, at least when I was growing up, and I know at least when my mom and dad were growing up, and I'm sure my grandparents were growing up, there was something that you were taught. It was called self-respect. And if you don't have that, you have a long journey in life. You've got to respect yourself. Because when you respect yourself, it goes a long ways. Self-respect, and when you, you know, show that, people respect you more. And you will respect yourself. I can't really say it in words. I'm going to let the song say it for you. We'll be right back. Singers.
Don't give a heck about the man with the Bible and his hand.
the legendary Staple Singers with Respect Yourself. That's one of those songs that has, like, what, a few verses and repeats the same crucial line that just sticks with you. It's a classic. And I want to dedicate that to all the young folks and adults. I have to say some of you adults, too. Just respect yourself, because some of y'all, I see some folks out here in public, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Come on now. Don't go out in public talking that way, acting that way, looking that way. Are we that type of society now? Just no self-respect? You can't respect me. Respect yourself, at least. And that's the key thing to it. I see Officer Crenshaw had dropped, and I'm going to go ahead and open up his mic in a second, but anybody want to respond to that? Because I want to look, just talk a little bit about that before we go into the gun control issue that is talking about after the recent mass shootings. But, I mean, come on. Don't you see this every day? I know I do. Just no self-respect. And I'm not going to say just kids. I'm saying even adults. But no self-respect. People who have money have no self-respect. They just don't care. Let alone self-respect, but respect for others. They just don't care. They will cuss. They will fuss in public. And Janet, you know, I've said this many times. It kills me when I see a person on their damn phone. You know, it used to be, you know, the old phones where you had the, you know, the little microphone thing. Now you got earbuds. And they're screaming and hollering at the top of their lungs in public, talking to somebody on the other line. And in my mind, I'm like, look, put the shit on damn speaker so I can hear the other folks that's talking, so I can hear their side of the story. Because you cussing them out in front of me. I don't want to hear that. No self-respect.
All right.
No respect for others. I don't know if you have anything to say about it, but I'm going to open up the mic of Officer Crenshaw. Victor's still here. I want to see if he has something to say about self-respect and just respect of others. Officer Crenshaw, welcome back. What's your thoughts on this? This disrespectful society.
That's the reason why the world is in the boat it's in now. Respect has gone out the window. You know, and if you don't respect your parents,
out the window. Look, it don't went in the window. It tumbled down the steps. it don't be. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm trying to respect you.
If you don't respect your parents to start off, your respect level is going to be low when you hit society. And that's what we're seeing today, not just in black neighborhoods, but white neighborhoods, Hispanic, Asian. Kids growing up think they know more than the adults do. So the respect is gone. And the politicians pretty much has taken that level away from the parents. They don't want you to whoop your children. They don't want you to discipline your children. You know, as a good parent, you do it anyway. You do what you do. You don't abuse them. You make them respect you.
That's a good point.
And you teach them respect of their elders and of others around them. That's the basis behind it.
Right.
You know, stealing, you have no respect for your neighbor, so you go steal from your neighbor. You go sleep with your neighbor's wife. It's no respect. Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments.
Now, that's interesting because you touched on a few things that just, like, crossed through my mind right there where politicians. Well, keep in mind, and I think Victor might have something to say on this, and I'm sure Janet will, but, okay, politicians pretty much cater to big business, right?
We know that. They got the tax breaks. I'm sorry? Am I right?
Money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Money. Okay. So let's go back to when we were growing up, where, I mean, as kids, they did anything and everything to keep us from listening to adult type stuff, going to adult clubs and some of the other, you know, whatever that was adult, okay, and everything. But now it's a new world. You got, which we talked about, these video games, nothing but violence. Not all of them, but the majority of them, the number one sellers, is nothing but violence.
Well, Mike, it's like you said, with respect. You know, a kid's place back then was a kid's place, not to speak
right.
out in front of adults. So a lot of things that the adults were doing, we didn't see, we didn't know about. A lot of
True.
Things that the upper politicians were doing, we didn't see, we didn't know about. Now
right.
it's at the point where what everybody is doing.
But the point I'm making yeah. is this. When we were doing it, okay, the most violent games that we ever had, as far as video, was Pong, okay? We had Pong, a tennis game. That was the first video game, right, from Atari. Y'all didn't have Pong when you never played it? Okay. That was
Mike,
the most violent game.
That wasn't
I know it wasn't violent. I was making a joke. Okay, I was making a joke, you guys. I know it wasn't violent. It was a tennis game, okay? And it just went bloop, bloop, bloop. And you did that all night long, playing tennis. And most black folks didn't play tennis, but if you had Atari, you did play that Pong. But they had another one, a little army tank thing. Okay, there was no men on the field. You just shot down little barriers and everything. I forgot the name of that game. All right, so time goes forward, and you start playing these games like Ms. Pac-Man and Galaga and this and the other. But look at the reality games now. And look at, as I say and I say again, we've talked about this before, the Grand Theft Autos and the war games. The most popular games are violent games.
But
children
children
become desensitized because they're sitting there in front of the games, playing them, watching, shooting, killing. Then they get right back up the next day and start all over again, shooting the same people. But when it's a live person, they're not coming back. Social media has really gotten out of hand. When my kids were growing up, they weren't in front of watching all these crazy things on TV. They watched Sesame
right.
Street, Electric Company,
yeah,
things
right.
like that.
Educational stuff. Right. It was educational stuff. But I'm trying to bring it around to this. The reason why I'm bringing that up, because we have discussed this before in segments, but I want to come back around and make full circle, because here comes the whole segment that we have quite a bit of time to talk about, as far as what is old enough to be able to own an assault weapon or any gun. See, because that's the question now. If you've been paying attention, which I'm sure some of you have, you know, and all prayers to the families of Baltimore and in Texas. You know, a grocery store shot up. We've talked about it the week that happened. A school shot up. But these are the things that Congress and government is discussing. Well, how do we, better yet, at this point in my mind, how do we massage the public? See, it's misogynistic because I think that is where, well, we don't want to say we're going to ban assault rifles, which it was done before, you know that, right? There was a ban, and it was lifted, or better yet, that ban expired. I think it was when Clinton was in office, right? Okay,
yes,
so
it was a few here.
It was when Clinton was in office. And the numbers did go down, believe it or not. I do not want to infringe on constitutional rights. But the thing is that, well, in the Constitution, it does not give an age. And it's just like there are a lot of laws throughout the United States that are federal and local and state that a lot can take into consideration of where they can say, just like here in Georgia, to have alcohol or purchase alcohol back when I first came here was only 18. They raised it to 21. In many other states.
And you couldn't even get alcohol on the weekend. You had to do it. Now
right.
You can buy it 24/7.
On Sunday.
But, Michael,
right.
Can I just say one thing? When the Constitution was written, we didn't have, there wasn't no assault rifle. You know?
True.
It wasn't.
That's a good point.
You're right. It wasn't automatic guns and things like that.
Right.
So, I think I don't see anything wrong with background checks. And I don't see anything wrong with raising the age. Because any time an 18-year-old can spend almost over $1,000 to go purchase a weapon to slaughter children, that's not right at all.
Well, and you're right. And here's another thing. When we do background checks on some things that is, in fact, Janet, you know this because you know my construction days. There was times, you guys,
mm-hmm.
I would do jobs in federal government buildings. Even the Federal Reserve in Birmingham, Alabama, where they print the money and shred it, okay? I remember one day I was there, it was raining, and they got a shredder, and it goes into a compactor, which throws it out to, it has a chute, it sends it out to this big, like a, you know, like a trash bin, like a dumpster, and it shoots all those shredding in there. And it was raining. So obviously the money is getting wet. And I'm seeing a river of green water running from the bottom of it. I'm like, wow. And little chips of shredded bills. I'm serious, little chips of shredded bills. I'm like, boy, if I could just scoop up all that and paste it all together, I'm just joking. But anyway, the point I'm saying is that where I had to go through a full background check, I would not have been allowed in that building if I had any kind of a felony. I couldn't work there. Many courthouses, okay, federal that is, or any federal facility, you cannot work there if you have any kind of – I'm not talking about being an employee, even working on a construction crew. You cannot enter that building and work
even
on that job.
Even government contracts. Yeah, even
government
right. contracts, because that's what I did for over 40 years
mm-hmm.
in electronics. And you couldn't just get a job and have a criminal background.
At all.
You know. Yeah.
So, Janet, you started that job when you were 6.
No.
You're 46.
Let me open up 3462274. Okay. These error codes are so similar. I think this is either, it's got to be Cotton Campbell. Or if it's not Cotton, it's got to be.
Of course
right.
It's Cotton Campbell.
Gotta be Cotton Campbell. Hey, Cotton, how you doing? Happy Saturday.
Hi, everybody. I've just been sitting
Hi,
here
Cotton.
Patiently waiting.
Hey, Cotton.
In.
You've been waiting
hey.
All this time.
Yes. This
you've been waiting that long.
Just,
now. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Y'all just told you and somebody else just act like nobody else was on the show for a while there.
Oh, okay.
I'm still reeling about the peaceful, telling people to go to the Capitol peacefully.
Yeah, that's interesting. But what's your? I mean, but I wanna look at this. But here's the thing: as I said, look at the things that. In fact, Janet and I were talking just the other day. You go to a store,
and they want to ask you for the ID to buy cough medicine or buy motor oil or a
fingernail polish remover.
Right, fingernail polish remover. Want to see if you're over 18 to get that. Who are you going to kill with
fingernail?
Right, but at 18 you can buy an assault rifle. You can buy an assault rifle. And let's look at the name of it, assault. It's not called a hunting rifle. And I've heard folks say, well, we use it to hunt. What are you hunting? Well, you got to put this caliber bullet in numerous times. What are you hunting? And I want to go back to Victor. I'm sure he's still here. And Victor, I just want you to give me your response, because I appreciate you calling in. I truly appreciate your comment and your point of view. You know, that's why we're here. But what do you think about that? Do you think that the age, and I want everybody to answer this, do you think, just like we have a certain age for certain things, do you think the age to purchase an assault rifle should be raised to the age of 21, just like the age of buying alcohol? Because you can kill somebody by buying alcohol if you're drunk driving, right? But for a kid who just got out of high school to be able to get something that can mow down numerous people, which we've seen, which the last few massacres or mass shootings have been by kids who are not really legal adults, per se, to be able to do anything they want to do. They're considered adults at 18. They can go to war or they can go into the military, but they can't do everything legally until they're 21 or older. Do you think the age should go up to 21?
Well, this kind of... It is a tough question.
Well, this should be a yes or no.
Well,
but go ahead and tell me why.
I'll say this, because you all were just talking about the video games and, you know, even the music. You know, we think about the psychological effects on the hearts and the minds of our young people. I am of the belief that children should. There should be some controls, but many families, black, white, in this country for years have taught their children how to fire firearms. I mean, we're teaching them everything else in school, but the problem is not the firearm. The problem is the behavioral or the psychological or mental illness that has taken place in our country. I mean, we got to deal with that. Unfortunately, we got folks who are criminal-minded. No criminal should not be allowed to have any firearms. But by the same token, I don't want mine taken away, and I don't want to be driven through emotions. I mean, it's sad to see people being shot up in that manner. If one person was able to fire back, probably would have put an end to it. So for... You know, people who go into a restaurant, somebody comes in and fires, I stand up with my piece and start firing back. Who you think they're going to run behind this fan? They're going to hide behind me, or they're going to hide behind you. I want at least a chance. Maybe I won't take them down. But the clear fact is, you know, if we're dealing with mental illness, then obviously the answer is no. But like you said, if we can send, I went into the Army when I was 18, and I shot responsibly. See, a lot of these things are learned behaviors, so we have to teach these things, and it's not being done. Blaming the firearm is not going to stop it, because, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do. I just want to be able to respond when I have to. No! Don't all y'all jump at one time and respond.
I'm like, hello.
Well, really.
I agree with Victor said just then, except
no,
for...
I want to intervene for a second. I want to intervene just a second. I have myself on mute, and then I'm going to let everybody respond, and I'll shut up. But I like what he just said, but by raising the age, it becomes a deterrent. You know, and Officer Crenshaw knows this for a fact. I'm sure that there's been cases that he's worked within over his 20-plus years experience in law enforcement of where a person was upset, went all the way home and got a gun, and came all the way back to commit a murder. Am I right, sir? But in a court of law, they said, you had enough time to think it over. Right? You can't say it was the heat of passion. Because if you had that gun on you right then and there and you did it, depending on what the situation was, they could say, oh, it was the heat of passion. But if you took time to go all the way home and come back and look for the person, you had time to think about what you were about to do. And I think that that is the same thing that where as an 18-year-old mindset compared to a 21-year-old, with what, 18, 19, 20, 21, 3 years more of life experience might deter you from doing what you're doing or what you plan on doing, what you're about to do or what you did after the fact. But hopefully it wouldn't be after the fact. But to me, I think it would be more of a deterrent. It's not going to stop folks from doing this. No. Far from the imagination, but I think that by cutting down the possibility, just like you make alcohol illegal until 21, it cuts down the possibility of my baby, my child at 18 getting drunk. I can't control him how much alcohol he drinks. He's 18. He's old enough to buy it now. But he doesn't have enough experience in life to know what a DUI is, what drunk driving is. He feels like I'm an adult now, I'm 18. I can do what my mama and daddy does every day, okay, depending on who his parents are, right? Just think about it. They're able to do something that parents or adults can do, some kids. I'm not saying all. But I think in this situation here where it's a guaranteed death with an assault rifle, I believe the age should be 21 and over, and there should be background checks for any kind of military-style weapon, assault weapon, I should say, an AR-15 or AK, there should be
47.
some time to do a background check on that.
But, so, I'm sorry. But part of the problem, part of the biggest problem is that a lot of these mass killings aren't of people that are under the age of 21. They're over the age of 30. So that's where the other problem comes in. So should we change the – we should change the age group up even more if that's the case, because this is one of the rare cases where it's a mass killing of a teenager. And you're talking about somebody walking into a school. We just had a grown man over the age of 40 kill at least 50 people in Las Vegas when he walked into the hotel with multiple guns.
We know about that.
But I'm saying there's more of the over the age of 21 than there's under the age of 21 that are doing these mass killings.
I'm not comparing ages. I'm saying
What I'm saying is it has to stop, period. So we're going to target 21. Let's target 30. Let's target 40. Because that's where some of our biggest problems are. Our adults aren't teaching our children.
I don't think that you're going to get it up to 30, 40. Here's the thing. I think that in order to purchase an assault weapon or even a gun, let's say assault. I'm going to stick with assault. Anything that's an AK-47 or AR-15, you have to be 21. That is a military arm. That is not your everyday carry on your hip firearm, okay, that can shoot, you know, so many rounds. This, if you look at and also Crenshaw, you can share. In fact, Janet had posted or shared with me the story about the damage that these rounds do. The sadness in that story that happened at that school is that the only way they were able to identify one of the kids was due to the fact of her tennis shoes. They couldn't even identify her face. Her face.
A lot of
they only knew the fact that she had on these green tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is this, is that where I agree with bring the age up to 21, I don't want to keep repeating myself, because we do have a limitation on certain things or a certain age. You have to be to buy certain other items that are non-lethal. That is 21. Why not have it 21 for an assault weapon? You're not going to get by with the 20. The 30 and 40 and everything. And then a major background check. I can't go buy a bazooka. I can't go buy some damn dynamite. What's the difference?
Right, Michael.
Can
on
I
the
just
background
go to a store and buy that?
On the background check, the young man that shot up the kids at the school, they said if they had looked at his juvenile record, he wouldn't have been able to get that gun. So apparently there was no back, you know, a good background check, you know, because most of those kids were, they said some of the heads were decapitated. They had to reconstruct the faces and stuff.
Which was that little girl. The only way they could figure her out was the fact she had on those green shoes. They couldn't even reconstruct her face. They knew her shoes. That's a sad ass. Think about the fact they can't even have an open casket for this little girl. They can't even have an open casket. I don't know if she's going to be cremated or not, but just think about it. And think about if it was you, your family.
Why do people have to have a gun to shoot so many rounds with the bump stock? So you got to look at a lot of different things, not just the age, not just the background checks, but also the type of ammunition. Because
that killed me is when they said I want Officer Crenshaw. We've got 20 minutes left. Officer Crenshaw, you've seen these rifles. You more than likely had them in your hands. Tell us how dangerous you know them to be. These assault weapons. And what is this point of view? I'm going to go around the board and ask everybody: do you think it should be raised in age?
They are dangerous. Go ahead. They're dangerous when in the hands of someone who doesn't know how to properly use them. Everybody's making an issue out of Uvalde. Well, you have shotguns that hold
all of them. I'm sorry, all of them, not just Uvalde. There's been other mass shootings with this type of weapon.
Right.
But
you have shotguns that hold multiple shells that'll do damage to that same extent. Now, I'm a gun owner from the military through the police department. If you want to own an AR-15, go right ahead. You know, I don't see the purpose in it, because what Victor was saying, if he's in a restaurant or somewhere and someone comes in shooting, first of all, he's responsible. So he's going to be wearing a pistol, and it's going to probably be concealed. The person that everyone's claiming mental illness now, whether they have it or not, they're the ones that's going to come in scouring up the place with an AR, and you might be able to take some cover and get a good shot in on it with your pistol. My thing is, if you go to training and learn how to shoot your pistol and you have to be legal age of 21 to own a pistol, to even work as a law enforcement officer or in a law enforcement capacity to carry a pistol, you should have to be 21 for a rifle, a shotgun, an AR. That way, you don't have to worry about your militia groups, you know, raising their kids up like this and our kids going through school with all this racism and this hate. If the parent wants to buy a gun for their child and their child is 18, then the parent accepts responsibility. When that child turns 21, they accept responsibility for that. A background check isn't going to do a whole lot of nothing. I went through several in the military. I had a top secret security clearance. That don't mean I couldn't have got out of the military, had PTSD, and went and started shooting up shit. They have to put limitations on the purchase of it, but they don't want to do that because they're going to lose revenue, and then the black market make more revenue than them. Everyone should be able to own a gun or own whatever they want to own, but at the age of 21. Victor can tell you, when you went in the military, it was straight when you went on that range. But he said something that made me think, and I'm glad he's on the show, because in high school, you also learn how to shoot if you're in ROTC, because they have a rifle team. It's structured, it's disciplined, but they put a weapon in your hand, and I didn't think about that before. As a high school student, the ROTC program had a rifle team, and they would teach you how to shoot that rifle. And even back then, you could go buy a rifle because you used to be able to drive around with them in the back window of your pickup truck, but you couldn't drive a pistol, go buy a pistol. And too many people are claiming mental illness that really don't have it. A lot of them do, and a lot of them don't. A lot of them just have hatred in their heart. They're angry.
Right.
They're angry with... Go ahead, Mike.
No, that wasn't me. It wasn't me.
I was going to say, what is the purpose for Remington 700 or AR-15 or Uzi or MG3? There's no purpose unless you're in the military that you would need these types of guns. They should not be sold in just a regular gun store so you can walk in and buy. If you're using it for the purpose of protecting your home, all you need is a small handgun. What do you need something that's going to shoot 50 people in one round in your home?
You don't need that, but you have a lot of people who have so much fear going through them that they'd rather tear up their damn house and scare the shit out of somebody than hit what they're shooting at. I'm a bad shot. Because, see, I'm going to carry my pistol, and if you come through, I'm going to drop you so the person behind you see you fall, and they're going to turn around and get the hell on because they know I'm a better shot than they are.
Can I say something? When I was in 10th grade, this young man that was probably in 12th grade, we used to have a little fountain restaurant like the kids hung out at. These boys jumped on this young man, and he went home and got a shotgun and came back and blew a hole in this other man and killed him. And he got sent away for life. You know, back then, a shotgun, it was like, oh, my God, you know. But now it's like they have taken it to the extreme with all these semi-automatic guns. But I used to think a shotgun was horrible, you know, because I saw what happened when he shot this young man and then blew a hole in his stomach.
What we're doing is reverting back in time from the 20s when they came out with the Tommy gun. That's all we're doing. We're giving the mafia and the militia more weaponry.
That's it.
And they're making money off of it. And as long as they're making money, they don't care who has it.
That's right. And as long as the NRA keep giving the politicians money for their campaigns and everything, they're going to turn their heads and not think about all the people that are being killed.
And the biggest problem is every day since this happened, because I have grandbabies, I think about what if that was my grandbaby? What if that had been in my grandbaby's school? What if that had been my friend's child? I don't know any of these. I don't know anybody that was involved. But every day I look at these small little faces who haven't harmed anybody.
That's right. Innocent.
Nothing. And you think that the NRA or somebody in the higher up would say enough is enough. This is too much, because he went in there to kill these babies, and now these families got to bury their babies because somebody handed this ignorant boy a gun. And then he turns the gun on himself. You should have just killed yourself.
And the amount of money he paid for the gun, where the heck he got that money from, you know?
Right. Excuse me. I want to let you guys know that part of this segment had, for some reason with Blog Talk, I don't know, I'm going to work on that, but it's definitely been recorded. But here's the thing, is that what I just heard said, I had myself on mute. No one gave him that gun. What happened was that the individual wanted his sister to buy him a gun, and she refused to buy him one. And when he became of age, he bought it himself. Okay? And again, as we said, there was no background check. You can go to almost any freaking gun show, and I saw, and which I said earlier in the show, I saw a story where an anchor went out to a local gun show recently, like last week, and talked to people who were with or against background checks, or as far as raising the age of purchasing a assault rifle. A couple of them, one said, I've been buying guns ever since I was, I've owned guns ever since I was 16 years old. Okay, cool. I guess you don't live in the inner city. I think he was definitely a country boy, you know, hunt and everything. I give you that. All right. But see, you got to look at where, when you say guns, what kind of guns are you talking about? When you say I've been buying guns, I own guns, what kind of guns? We see where folks have all kinds of guns. But I keep saying this, and people are missing it. I'm not saying you can't own a gun, but an assault rifle? And when you tell me it's a hunting gun, I've never heard of an assault rifle being a hunting gun unless you're hunting human flesh. That's
right.
If you want to say it's a hunting gun, then you're talking about human flesh. You don't go kill a pig or a cow or you know, anything else that hunters hunt, okay? Even one of the Trump boys don't go out to Africa and hunt with an AR-15. He has a rifle, not an assault weapon where he's going to unload, you know, where he's capable of unloading many bullets of high caliber into this animal. It's not a hunting rifle, you guys. We know this. This is a killing weapon. It's a war weapon. We got to make people, well, we can't make them, but we have to understand this. The reality of it, it's meant to kill people, not animals. You can kill an animal. An animal is not shooting at your ass. Okay, first of all.
Right.
Let's look at the reality. If an animal could pick up an AR-15 and shoot at you, then I would say, well, I recommend you go buy one yourself. If that rhino picks up an AR-15, I would grab mine and shoot his ass too. But that's not the case. Animals don't have weapons. They don't have guns. They're not hunting you. We are hunting them. So when they try to tell me this weapon is for hunting, you full of shit.
Right.
You full of fucking shit. And you're just, I'm cussing.
Yeah, you say
if they use it for hunting, let them use it for hunting. That means they don't want to eat what they catch. But at least regulate it to where they're 21 so that the government can monitor who has it.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's the only point I'm trying to make.
I know a lot of convicted felons that have firearms. They're going to get it off the black market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's